Connect with the Matt and Ramona Showcast via Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at 1079thelink.com.
You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Do men and women, I guess, because they interviewed 815 male and female undergraduates and asked them to rank various creative pursuits on a scale of 1 to very unattractive, to 5, hotsy. And the number one thing that guys, if you want to call it a hobby, they do call it a hobby for this thing, is sexy, is a spontaneous road trip. But I don't think, is that a hobby? I guess it's just you're up for that.
Yeah.
It's followed by playing sports, performing and dance, dressing in a unique style, making a clever remark, and recording music. So you can do a clever remark.
I'm clever remark all day.
So that's bad. You got you covered. Done. Out of the top five. Because spontaneous road trip, you get
I'm
your
out.
Mom, you're playing
I'm
sports. You can talk smack.
Wait a minute.
Performing and dance.
I'm not out on all sports.
You're out on all sports.
I'm not out on all
what
sports.
What sport? What sport are you? Do you play?
I am a bowler.
You are? How often do you bowl? How many times a year do you bowl? Like once? Maybe a year?
I bowl at least 3 times a year, if not more.
Okay. All right.
And I will be bowling this weekend, probably.
Oh, well, rarely for
the... Because it's the Angel Bowl.
Okay. Or you'll be, you said probably, because you'll probably be announcing.
Yeah, mainly be talking to people who are bowling.
Yeah, yeah. And I would think on the list of the attractive sports, bowling is not the top 10.
What?
Of like, oh man, act like girl bowl. I mean, it's fun to go with them, and it is
okay.
Sexy.
When we talk about, we're talking competitive sports, right?
It says playing sports, so I'd have to assume, competitive
sports.
For
men, I'm assuming that your number one sexy sport is gymnastics.
Maybe. I guess, volleyball I was going to think it would be.
Yeah, volleyball.
And volleyball, especially beach volleyball. Let's see. I'm trying to think what, golfing.
Tennis.
Yes. Golfing and tennis.
Golfing. No, come on.
Yes.
Sexy.
Yeah. Yes.
Sexy.
Got a nice little, usually a cute little outfit.
Gymnastics. You got volleyball.
Gymnastics.
You got tennis. You got golf.
Gymnastics is a weird world because sometimes it's a age thing and stuff. So we've got to go, older sports. So like, maybe a good, maybe I am good with canasta.
Cheerleading? So is cheerleading out as well?
Cheerleading, yeah. Cheerleading, I guess, if you want to call it a sport. Yeah, sure. I think when you're saying, I think guys are thinking of I would think tennis, golf, running, yoga, even though it's not really a sport necessarily.
No, I cannot support golf being a sexy sport.
What? You can't?
I can't.
Think guys, that's the thing. No. Women get to wear these little nice little outfits, sometimes a little skirt.
Really?
Yeah. How about soccer?
Soccer, yeah.
Yes, soccer. Good.
A heck of a lot sexier.
Do you think golf is not
sexy? I'm golf down there with bowling.
No.
Yes.
Because guys,
sexier. If I walk over to the guys at WFNZ, the sports station, and say, hey guys, I'm thinking about taking up golf. Are they going to be like, ooh, girl.
They're not going to say that if you say bowling either. They're going to say,
I contend that the guys at the sports station would be more impressed with my bowling than my golfing.
No, they wouldn't. Not at all. And especially if you phrase it this way, which is sexier, a girl that golfs or a girl that bowls? Or word it, where are you more likely to find sexy women, golfing or bowling?
No, sir.
Top golf. No. You're going to find it. Yeah. No, absolutely.
And top golf isn't real golf. Because I love
not.
Top golf, and
it's
I'm not
real,
good
it's
at
fun,
it.
But no, you don't have to be good at it, but it's sexy when a woman's up there playing. When a woman plays or is doing that, I'm telling you. What are you going to say, roller derby or something? Yeah, that's kind of actually. but there's no way, if you asked a guy, what's a sexier thing for a woman to do, golfing or bowling? Doc, what did you say, golfing or bowling?
Oh, yeah, definitely bowling.
Sexier than golf?
Yeah.
Is this based on the stereotype of the golfers? A lot of women golfers aren't exactly fond of men. Is this what this based on? Would you go tennis over all of them?
Don't make it an LGBTQ issue.
Would you go over tennis over everything, though? Over golf and bowling,
right? I'd go tennis over golf and bowling, but I'm telling you, bowling is a sexier sport.
I have nothing wrong with bowling. Go take a poll.
Thanks for listening to Matt and Ramona and Charlotte's Best Mix. 107.9 The Link.
We're debating which is a sexier sport for a woman or a hobby, whatever you want to call it, golf or bowling, and see what line one has to say. And we'll tell you what. Hello. Hi. Who's this?
Hi. This is Kelly.
Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Where's your vote go?
My vote goes for shooting. Mm. A woman with a gun.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Shooting is, yes. Shooting is, shooting. Can we go with that above golf and bowling?
Yeah.
But depends what they're shooting, right?
No. shooting. But okay.
What are they shooting who are running in the street?
After shooting, how do you rank golf and bowling?
I would say bowling because golf is so boring.
It's not about boring.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's not about boring.
Let's go to the next line.
It's not about boring. It's not. That was a woman, too, by the way.
She said bowling.
Yeah, all right.
Sexier.
But it's about men. Hi, who's this? Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Schlepper.
Hey, man, what bowling, a woman that's a bowler or a golfer, which is sexier?
Not for the reason that you think, but definitely, no questions, is bowling.
Thank you very much.
Ask Tiger Woods. Which would you rather be on the business end of, the one bowling ball she can throw at you or the whole bag of clubs?
I think I'd rather be on the end of the golf club. That ball can, thank you.
She's only got one ball.
That's true.
She's got a whole bag of clubs.
You had a lot of things to smash your window with. All right. Big D, our boss, sexier hobby for the woman to have, golf or bowling?
I'm all about the style. So I'm going to have, I'm going to have to go with golf.
Me too. I said the outfit, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
You really disappointed me today.
Yep. He just speaks the truth.
Goodness.
He's a wise man.
Charlotte's Best Mix with Matt and Ramona on 107.9 The Link.
Who do you go to when you have a problem at work? You have a problem or an issue?
Or you or Doc. And if it's one or the other, then I go to the other one. If you are the problem.
Okay, yeah.
But first I probably go to you guys, and then you give me advice on who to go to.
Well, and generally we try to keep you from going to the boss.
Yeah, that's true.
That I feel like that is my goal, is to keep you from taking any issue, no matter what it is, to the boss.
Well, at least addressing it with someone in here.
54% of people surveyed say they feel like they don't have anybody to turn to when they have an issue at work.
Even like you're talking about, even like if it's a friend or they are talking about only
they have
work
nobody.
People.
Nobody. The 60% are too intimidated to take their problems to the boss. 65% won't go to HR because they believe it's there to protect the company.
That's true.
And not the
employees. I mean, not true, but I can believe people believe that, yeah.
And 17% have had something serious go down at work, but didn't file a complaint because they were afraid that they could get fired.
I believe that. I believe those numbers.
Because sometimes things do backfire.
Yeah, I could see why. It's a fray. You can be afraid, especially depending on the boss. That's where the key happens
right.
at the place, whether you feel
I've
open or not.
I had an issue, and I went above my boss's head one time, and he was like, well, you need to deal with your boss about it. I said, well, she's going to punish me.
Yeah, punish me, yes.
She's going to make life hard for me. And he's like,
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. What was the number again? Like 65% don't want to go see any.
60% don't want to go to the boss, and 65% don't want to go to HR.
Okay. Which could be one they assume is one and the same.
Yeah.
That's why the numbers are about the
same.
Because they assume that that's tied together.
It's not going to help.
Right. So it's so. Upper management of the world, not here speaking. They need to figure out how to get that number down. They need to tell people it's an open. But is it?
But it's not.
You can't, like, no matter what they say, you're not going to believe them, right?
I'm sorry. I think if I was a boss, I'd be like, you know what? Listen, I got problems too.
Okay? I got problems too. You know why you're complaining, buddy? Because you're crappy at your job. So thank you for giving me a reason to fire you.
You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
There is a myth that women get all emotional about relationships and men stay cool and logical. It is only a myth, they say.
Oh, it absolutely is a myth.
You know, there's usually the hysterical woman bursting into tears over something her man has said, while the calm, collected guy is calming her down.
Whatevs.
But in, you know, it even happens in, you know, like chick flicks or Sex in the City and things like that. And women spend all the time dissecting their relationships. But science says, after data that was collected over 1,000 unmarried young adults, that men are more emotionally affected by relationship drama than women. They just don't show it.
Hmm.
They're more likely to put on a brave face and then put some passive-aggressive Facebook status.
Oh, yeah.
or complain to their buddies.
Or passive-aggressive text messages.
And they might even cry into their pillows at night more. I don't know.
You know, there are some men capable of feeling.
I don't know.
Just FYI.
I find it hard to believe. Researchers think it might be because girls generally more close bonds with friends and family than men. So going through a rough spot with a boyfriend doesn't cut off their only outlet for emotional support. Meanwhile, sometimes when guys get deep into a relationship, that's the only one they talk emotions with.
I remember when a coworker of ours in Ohio was going through a difficult breakup. And I knew he and I weren't very close at all. But when he started coming to me to talk to me about his relationship drama, I knew all the other guys at the station had cut him off.
Yeah, I cut him off. I told him to his face. And
to be honest, I said, you know, I'm really feeling for you, what you're going through, and I know it's hard to talk about. He goes, yeah, because Matt told me he didn't want to hear it anymore.
Well, would you like me to lie behind your back or something? I mean, you broke up with her, and it's been a few months. I mean, what the hell? I get it. You just quit sending me the same song every day. Am I supposed to play along or something?
He was like, yeah, because Matt told me he was tired of hitting him.
Yeah, well, I got honesty going for me, but then I guess there's some downside of that, too.
Charlotte's Best Mix and Matt and Ramona on 107.9 The Link.
Let's see what I got here in the news nuts. This pair of Pennsylvania women, best friends for 17 years.
Mm.
17 years. Ashley Thomas, 31. Toya Wimberly, 29, met in sixth grade, middle school, Philadelphia, inseparable. People say, oh, you guys look a lot alike. Are you sisters? Whatever. They laugh it off. Until recently, Thomas said she found out about 15 years ago that the man she knew as her dad was not her biological father. But her mother never told her the identity of her biological father before she died a few years later. Thomas's late mother's best friend was recently scrolling Facebook, came upon pictures from the other girl, Wimberly's engagement party, and she spotted Wimberly's father, Kenneth Wimberly, in the photos and said, hey, that guy used to hang out with your mother a lot. This sounds really suspicious to me. That's the truth. That's what it says. That looks like someone who used to hang out with your mother. Come on! I think we knew maybe something might be happening, not just some random guy. So Kenneth Wimberly said he remembered the woman, and the group soon started to suspect he might be Thomas's biological father. DNA test was conducted, confirmed the suspicions. The guy, Kenneth Wimberly, shocked by the news, he said, I was hurt, but also happy to find out that this is a beautiful and successful young lady with my daughter. And the girls say just made their bond stronger. But I think the person who stumbled across it on Facebook.
Wait. I think I saw them together once back in 1971.
31 years ago. Yeah.
No.
You're not buying it either?
No.
I was very suspect of that.
That's too
as
fishy.
Well.
Unless the town was talking back then.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think that she, in my mind.
The town was talking. People knew something was up.
Right.
And now you're trying to act like,
Yeah.
That, you know, something about that just rings a bell.
Right.
Whatever.
That's what I find. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just randomly looking at a picture. You know what? I think I saw him with her one time.
I think it was 31
years ago.
90,
right? In the 90s.
89, maybe?
Yeah. And, I used to hang out, but I don't know. See, if I saw someone that used to hang out with somebody, I'm not immediately, even if I don't know who the biological father is, I don't immediately go to...
Like, you know my nephew Jeremy.
Yeah.
He's turning 30 this year. Can you, scroll through Facebook and say, you know what?
I do remember your mother.
I remember, Jeremy, I remember your mom hanging out with that one basketball coach a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, this isn't even like, not even the basketball coach. Like, she randomly finds a picture that was a guy who was hanging out 31 years ago with her friend.
Come on.
So, yeah, there's more to it, right? There's more knowledge. There was more knowledge in that than just suddenly falling across a picture.
Maybe we're just really
cynical people.
Suspicious, dirty thinking people.
Maybe we are. 107.9 The Link.
The Link is Charlotte's best mix.
We listen to you guys like
all the time.
All day, every day.
Every day.
I love your station.
107.9 The Link. Matt and Ramona's off-air podcast.
There are some warning signs he's playing for you for a fool, man. A fool! First of all, he doesn't call when he says he's going to. I mean, if he wants to have a real relationship, he's not going to forget to call. If he's really into you, he's not going to forget consistently. I'm not talking about, I don't think we're talking about one time, but would you agree that you should take a call?
Yeah.
He's often late. They say it's okay if he's often late. Maybe he's a late person. You can accept that. But he never calls to let you know he's going to be late.
And there is a, there's also calling to let me know that you're going to be late after you're already late. That's a no-no.
I like you should like, call.
When you realize you're going to be late, you call. Not, I've been waiting for you 15 minutes and you're like, hey, I'm running late. I already know that.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Right.
So even if it's a minute before you're supposed to be there or right when you're supposed to be there, you got to call.
Yeah.
And then there's also...
You have a 10-minute grace.
And then there's also like a grace period and an acceptable late period.
And you know late.
If it's going to be over a half an hour, I'm sorry.
You better call. So you got Waze and Google Maps and everything now. You should know how late you're going to be.
Right.
In general. I mean, things can happen, but... In general.
You know how late you're going to be.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be that much later... Like, I dated a guy who taught me a lot about being late because he was Mr. like hour late for everything.
Oh, God. And that puts you in the mindset that, like, I don't even want to be 20 minutes late because I know how awful an hour.
It showed me how frustrating it is to wait for someone like me.
Yeah. And you are much better at being on time. You're very good.
I thank him for showing me how awful it is.
Okay, what's worse, though? The always late, never calls, or doesn't show up at all and doesn't call? It's got to be. They're almost equally as bad. Even though the person does eventually show up, still, if you keep somebody waiting 30 to 40 minutes on the regular without a phone call, it's almost as if just don't show up at that point.
You don't care.
So you're saying.
Because I'm sorry.
And don't give me the bad cell reception.
And the other part of this is if you are 30 to 40 minutes late, like regularly.
Yeah.
Like, how are you keeping a job?
Right, because you're not doing it.
You are definitely not doing 30 to 40 minutes late for your job.
10 to 15, that might be the way you're going to have to deal with it the rest of your life. That person's going to be a 10 to 15 minute, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, if you're 30 to 40, then you're not a priority on that list.
Yeah.
There's also a sign he's playing you for a fool because he has rules about how often he can see you. And it's not like, I can't see you on Wednesdays, I have poker night, but it's like, assuming there's not a custody thing or something, I can only see you on the first Saturday of every month, or I can see you only. That it doesn't necessarily mean they're in. It probably means they're not in for the long haul.
Yeah.
If they're very specific, like it's a very limited window when they can see you, there's probably some stuff going on there.
Although, as someone who's a caregiver with caregiver issues,
there's always an outlier.
I find myself saying, okay, I have Monday, Thursday,
well, that's
and 1 week and a month off.
Well, that's Monday, Thursday. Look, you just gave a bunch, though.
Yeah.
Right? You gave a bunch. And you have an outlier type thing. Like I said, if you have a kid situation.
Yeah,
or
custody,
but in general, if you're just two single people with that not involved, and he's like, I can only see you 1 week and a month. I think that's probably not, a sign. He's either knocking boots somewhere else or he's living a double life. I don't know how those people do the
knocking
double
boots.
Life thing.
Double
or
life,
looking.
Or he's just, he's not serious.
He's not serious.
He's not
yes,
serious.
That's true.
It's Matt and Ramona on Charlotte's Best Mix. 107.9 The Link.
You know, when you're sitting in traffic and you're, you either are like, sometimes you maybe just decide to stay in your lane or you're a lane switcher, go back and forth. And you kind of wonder, is that, are you getting there faster? Are you getting there quicker?
You are a lane switcher for sure.
No, I'm not. I'm not usually.
Harris,
no, I get to the fast lane.
With you.
What I do is I get to the fast lane. I mean, I'm talking when it's kind of stop and go, not when it's there's somebody putzing.
Okay.
But if like a lot of traffic, I just get to the fast lane and I decide to ride that. I usually ride that one out.
Okay.
But if it's moving traffic, then I'm going to switch around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because moving traffic, there can be a putzer in the fast lane that's going to mess you up. But the like you're on 77 or whatever, 85, whatever, and it's like 25 mile an hour. I'm not lying. I get right as quickly as I can to the fast lane and just hang in there. I trust those people.
You trust the fast people.
Yeah. These Lifehacker did, they had two people race on a busy stretch of L.A. freeway in rush hour. A 12-mile drive. The guy, Andrew, stayed in the same line in the freeway. The girl, Tashin, I believe it is, switched lanes whenever possible to see who would get to the taco lunch first.
I like this experiment.
The woman was faster. She got there 2 minutes faster.
Wow, 2 minutes.
She said it wasn't worth it. The anxiety and all that of changing lanes and got beeped at and whatever was not worth the 2 minutes.
Yep,
and
I'm with
her. And then somebody in the comments section said Mythbusters did a research by a professional driving instructor. This guy says, switching lanes and cutting people off will get to your destination about 3% faster than staying in the left-hand lane. You will, you'll feel more stressed if you go back and forth. You're putting yourself and others at risk. So, and leave 3 seconds, even in bumper traffic.
The part that I want you to repeat is putting yourself and others at risk.
Yeah.
And others. It's not just about you sometimes.
Oh, I say that. Left
Mr. End. Lane switcher.
I left lane unless that guy in the left lane is not passing.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to a random Mr. Lane switcher.
Left lane. I wonder, I think that if you would go right lane versus lane switcher, there might be a bigger time difference.
I am a right laner.
Because I think
unless I see that there's, you know, there's an issue with the person in front of me, I very rarely pass.
You'll never go all the way
past.
You'll never go all the way left.
More laughs. More dysfunction.
Oh, the mind boggles.
It's Matt and Ramona on Charlotte's Best Mix. 107.9 The Link.
I saw this, I guess, trend, maybe, of, I don't know if I can pull it off. It's a hip-hop star kind of thing now. Post Malone and it's not. I see. Yeah, we get it. Back, we play.
Did you just start this by saying you don't know if you can pull it off? Bless your whole heart.
But sometimes, after it's been hip hop for a while, it moves mainstream, right?
To the dads of Baxter Village.
Yeah, like look at my. These are old Run DMC sneakers, Adidas. I'm wearing right now.
Okay.
Took a while.
Okay. All right. Now that they're no longer cool for the hip hop community,
like,
you feel like you can.
I can wear like a
glom on,
like a Beastie Boy furry like a cap or an LL Cool J cap. I could pull that off. See,
you
now.
Think that you can wear a Kangol?
A Kangol. That's
now?
What I was looking for. Yes, I think I am. No,
ah.
it's the bolo tie. Have you seen? Have you seen it? The Post Malone's the only guy I know that is doing it.
I think you can do it. I really do.
It says,
and I believe you should. Are you working on WCCB tonight?
I probably, but I'm definitely tomorrow. Probably.
I think you should debut your bolo on the edge.
But I'm having. What made me think
then
that's
let
possible?
Me know so I can watch and live tweet.
Well, I know I have to get one yet. But I was very intrigued by the fact that there's one for sale for $10. This might be able to get behind this whole thing
because it's only $10.
Because it's only $10. But here's the problem in my head. I don't know if anybody else is caught up with the hipness like I have.
So they might just think you're a corny guy wearing a bolo.
They might think, or a country, right? Because I think bolo tie, first thing I think is a country guy, right?
Yeah.
But so maybe a lot of people aren't aware of my hip-hop influence.
But the cowboy hats and cowboy chic is really in right now.
I'm trying. Yeah.
I say you go for it.
Yeah.
Please. Just let me know what night.
Do you have to tie this? Oh, God, wait a minute. I don't even know if I want to do it because our bolo tie is offensive. What? When? Why did that happen? What am I doing? I'm just getting on it. I haven't even started yet. There's an article that I'm being offensive. I don't know. I have to find. I can't find the dang thing I saw at one point today about hip hop guys wearing bolo ties. I only saw Post Malone, but so now I can't even find the article. So maybe it's dead already. I was like,
well,
a one day.
You have heard of it.
Thing.
So,
have you seen it, Doc? Have you seen people wear or the hip hop tie, or I mean the bolo tie? On
Now I think I found something. Quavo from the Migos. He's got a tie.
Migos.
On.
Yeah.
One of the Nick Jonas as well.
Oh, Nick Jonas. Okay, because I don't want to be the cultural appropriation. But if Nick did it, then maybe I can do it. Do you think that Doc could pull it off?
Oh, absolutely.
Doc, are you going to be willing to pull it off?
I could try it. I'm not necessarily a tie guy, but never
sure
hurts.
Sure, you are. Sure.
Holy crap! I might be out again. He's wearing a Prada bolo tie that's worth like $240. Okay, I gotta change my mind. I'm going back to the $10 one.
You
I saw
can
on
get
Amazon.
One. I'm looking right here. You can get bolo ties in Concord at Boot Barn.
I can't get it at Boot Barn, and then
you can get it at El Potrero Western.
Well, I'm
Wear,
sure I can get it at a lot of these
Square,
places.
Morris Costumes.
No. If I'm going to be keeping my swag, and I'm going to keep my, rep,
dude,
in the
Matt,
cool community.
You don't have swag.
I've got I'm dripping like crazy, man. When I put that bolo tie on, you guys wait.
Are you going to wear it like a relax, or are you going to wear it right up at your neck?
I don't know. I haven't really studied too much. Do I have to make it or tie it or something?
I can't wait.
I hope it just
this.
Goes around you. Do I?
What do you mean just goes around you?
I mean, like, I don't have to, like, tie it or anything is what I'm hoping I don't have to do.
So suppose someone asks you why you're wearing it. Like, why are you wearing a bolo tie?
Because my grandfather was part... pirate. That'll get me off the air. I can't do part to anything because Post Malone bought it for me.
That's a lie.
That is a lie. I got nothing.
Are you Native American? Are you trying to copy Native American style?
My Welsh ancestry. Welsh were very big into bolo ties.
Really?
Like 1638?
Irreverent and neurotic. It's Matt and Ramona. Only on Charlotte's Best Mix. 107.9 The Link.
More on the big controversy over the fridge. Now that we have an office that we're going to take out, maybe take out of the fishbowl, which is all the other jocks in.
Oh, my
but,
heavens.
But blatant WFNZ radio man blatantly ignoring my sign. And video of him caught in action.
I cannot impress enough that people don't
they do
care as
well,
much as you think they do.
Look at him mocking us.
Your sign. He's mocking you because everybody thinks your sign is dumb.
He knows.
No, Doc
and I know. Doc and I know.
A mini
that's
fridge
matters.
That's filthy and 10 years old, just like yours.
No, he can't.
For $30 or less down the street at the Habitat Restore.
Then you know why? That's why he's thinking. That's why he's thinking. Why doesn't Harris just go get another fridge?
That's why he's thinking.
Don't worry, Doc.
Your sign is stupid.
I got us, Doc.
You and Doc look really dumb.
I like
looking dumb. And I'm trying to help you not
look
really dumb.
I'm trying to look nice and not
mean.
You're not looking. They're going to walk in one day and it's going to be gone. And then the words.
In all caps, taped to the refrigerator, this is warning, warning, warning. I purchased this fridge with cold hard cash many years ago.
I will have it. I'm an updated sign. I'm working on it.
I'm cleaning it out at 6 p.m.
I'm updating it.
I'm telling
you. I promise them I wouldn't throw away their containers.
It's making... They don't care. It's not real Tupperware.
Stop it.
Matt and Ramona on 107.9 The Link. Charlotte's Best Mix.
Some people think that gamer guys don't get much love, but
no. The
opposite could actually be true if a gamer knows how to, quote-unquote, play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of games you can play with the ladies.
Well, they say... If you are a gamer, what you need to do, if it's an important part of your life, is try to make gaming a mutual activity with your lady love.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, some guys have found that their partner doesn't mind him spending hours and hours because she knows she's passionate about it. But it's also great that they have some games that they share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like watching TV or anything else, or an activity. I guess it's more of an activity you could do together.
You can not just game together, but you can watch gaming live streams together.
Yeah.
You can do that on Twitch.
Yeah, not a thing.
Also, some gamers have found that it strengthens the relationship when they are teammates and not opponents.
Okay, that would make – well, I don't know. I was going to say that makes sense, but then I can imagine somebody getting – like, what? You didn't have my back. I just got my head blown off. What are you doing?
They recommend Overcooked, Diablo 3, Minecraft, and Borderlands.
Yeah, I don't know. Only the one I heard of them is Minecraft. And you can do – because Minecraft, you can build things together and stuff like that.
But if gaming is important to you –
there are people out there, sure.
They say you need to make sure that any woman that you pursue knows that up front. Don't try to hide your gaming. Like, oh, it's a, sometimes play. Yeah. If you are a hardcore gamer and it's an important part of your life and you really enjoy it, that's your passion, that's your hobby, then you need to be as upfront about it as the guy who's into football or the guy who's into golf. Whatever it is, make sure, don't try to hide it and make like it's no big deal. And then later on, spring it on her. Be upfront.
Like, maybe not the first date.
What do you mean?
I don't go on the first date to say, I just don't think it's good for the guy to start the first day by doing 6 hours a day of gaming. You might want to hold that one out. Hold that on a little bit.
I unwind with gaming.
Okay. You'll leave it at that, maybe. But don't get a little, I don't want to reveal too much until she likes it. But then you also want to, if you game 3 hours a day, once you get in the relationship, say you game 5 hours a day. Cut it down to three. Got what you want, and she thinks you sacrificed.
Please don't listen to
that. That's
Matt.
The way to
Don't start your relationship with a lie. Your relationship with a lie.
You're not beginning it because the relationship has kind of begun now, and it's not. It's a lie to preserve yourself.
No.
To preserve your freedom and fun.
If you have to lie about your gaming, you've got a problem. If you have to lie about it, you have a problem.
Because you...
No.
She's always thinks that you sacrifice 2 hours of your playtime. You're down to 3 hours.
That's manipulative.
Five. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you are manipulating her in order to get at your games, you've got a gaming problem.
I'm just telling. Don't say you do it only 1 hour a night to be kind. Because then when you want to go to even a two, you don't even have a shot.
It's reality radio on your schedule. Off air with Matt and Ramona.
By the way, millennials, according to this article, are now, we've gone to 26 to 43. Think about that. When you say millennials, do you think of a 38-year-old person?
Bandy, who's not here today, always says that he identifies with millennials because technically he's in that group.
But you would never think if I said, describe a millennial, would you describe like a 38-year-old person?
No, I'm not going to describe a 40-year-old dude.
Yeah. But anyway, so 25 to they broke it down in this survey as 25 to 34, but millennials are different age. Anyway, 25% said they rated their personal DIY skills at taking care of the home as good. That's as high as it got. Most people don't think they're very good. And it's a little misleading. 87% turned to Google with even the simplest home-based task, including changing a light bulb.
Well, okay. I have to admit, there are a couple of light bulbs that are tricky.
If it's high.
You have
buying light
bulb issues.
Is different. That's a problem.
What about changing those fluorescent light bulbs?
The long, skinny ones? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh. Also, like in my house, in my bathrooms, I have a couple of light bulbs that are behind like a weird plastic thing that doesn't, when you look at it, you're like, how do I get that thing down?
Yeah.
So I can understand. I can't
that
make total
be.
Fun.
They say they will go at least more than 3 weeks before asking someone else to change it for them. But it is a bit misleading because that's the one they use the headline that they won't, 87% will turn to Google with the simplest home-based task, like changing a light bulb. But when you look at it, what they put in under a simple household task was not just changing a light bulb. I'll agree this should be easy. Tightening a wobbly kitchen cupboard door, fixing a loose screw. Those should be simple, easy things. But they also put in there putting up wallpaper. That should not be on the simple, easy task.
No.
I get you on the light bulb.
Not at all.
Tightening something, a screw, that sort of thing. But are you going with light or hanging wallpaper in the same category as those things?
No.
I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it.
Because wallpaper is a specific thing.
I did the...
Have you ever tried to do wallpaper?
Yeah, I did the old squad. And you ever try to remove... Remember, I was a fine painter back in my day, but we also did some wallpapering, too.
You were a painter.
Back in the old days.
No, a painting company hired you because they couldn't find anybody else one summer.
No, it was great. But they, Amy and I did a, because they have that just, it's a sticky, you know, you don't do the paste thing. You know what I'm trying to talk about?
Right.
You just stick on the wall.
Kind of like contact paper.
Yeah, kind of contact paper. We did it on a whole wall. It looked great. It blew my mind because the old... paste and putting it up and trying to even everything off. I've did it many times. It's horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
And this came out fantastic. We just did it on one wall in the bedroom, and it looks like distressed wood or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it came out really, really well. There wasn't much to match or anything, and it was pretty awesome.
Amy pretty much did it, right?
But I held the light sometimes.
Thanks for listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Check out the articles, videos, and news you heard today at 1079thelink.com.